That's kind of like a command to the, if you want to be a disciple of Christ, you're always a disciple of Christ. You don't expect any special privileges. Just know that this is what is expected of you. And if you are a faithful disciple, that's what I want you to do. So that's kind of that part of the message. The part I want to talk about a little bit tonight is faith. It is a treasure. It is a gift. I don't know if you've ever really known somebody who seemed to have no faith at all, that didn't believe in anything. I met a person like at one time that I remember. And he didn't care about anything. He didn't care about God. He didn't care about the devil. He didn't care about himself. He didn't care about any human being that he ever met. And it's the kind of person that you feel, I really need to get away from him. I don't really feel comfortable even being in his presence. And that's what I did. I got away from him. But faith is a gift. We have to understand that. It's not something we earn. It's not something that we do this and this and this, we get a gift of faith. It doesn't work like that. It's simply God's gift. And remember, he said, I give whatever is needed for the salvation of all people. And if faith is necessary for salvation, everybody receives the gift of faith. What we do with it is what is important. It's like baptism. With baptism, so many times people just, it's a ceremony, a ritual that we go through, but it doesn't seem to touch their hearts. It doesn't seem to, that this child now, or this adult, whoever it may be that's being baptized, is totally transformed. It's a totally different person. They look the same, they still are the same in every way, but now they are a spiritual being because the Spirit of God has come to dwell in them. But unfortunately, what happens so many times is that it's like, that doesn't make it. The important thing was the baptismal ceremony and the party that came after. And what happens the rest of their lives doesn't seem to make any difference. Which is really tragic, because Jesus said it's like a mustard seed. It's a small seed, but any seed has to be carefully nurtured if it's going to grow at all. It needs a place to land. It needs to be nourished. It needs to be watered. It needs to be cared for, and needs the right climates and all that kind of stuff. And then it will grow. And that's true with faith. Because God put it in there as a gift, it doesn't mean now that I'm a full-blown, faithful person, that I fully believe and accept everything God teaches, and that he governs my life, he's the center of my life. It doesn't mean that at all. As a matter of fact, unfortunately, how many people have you met in your lifetime or know that after the baptismal ceremony, they do nothing to help form that child or that adult in the tradition that they just pledged their life to? It's like it doesn't make any difference. So how do you help form somebody in their faith? You know, I think probably the example of your own family life can probably tell you a whole lot. You know, when we were kids, it was your parents taught you how to pray. From the time you could begin to speak. Whenever the family gathered for a meal or in the evening for prayer, every night you had to say your prayers at your parents' knees. But they guided you. They taught you how important this was, because this God whom they believed in wanted them to pass this on to us. And that's what they did. They taught us how to pray. They taught us how to live in peace with each other. And how, if you get in a quarrel or fight, you know how to make peace with each other afterward, to forgive and move on. They taught you about stuff like honesty, that if you picked up something in a store, you immediately had to take that to the owner and apologize and give it back. They taught you honesty. They taught you the necessity of treating people to be fair, to treat them fairly, to treat them honestly, to be truthful with them. You know, and that's the way we would learn. And then when we got in school, we went to parochial school. So again, in those days, they had we began with Mass every morning. We had our morning prayer in the school. We had our prayer before we ate lunch, and all of those things, which continually reaffirmed to us the importance of developing this gift that our God had given to us. How do you have faith without somebody to help you to form it? We need that. We need that very much. And in our world today, I think there's so much of that that's neglected. That is like, well, that's just not that important. Or maybe we choose not to do that ourselves, so we're not going to pass it on to our kids either. And it's really unfortunate. So, you know, a lot of times grandparents will say, well, what can we do? My son or my daughter doesn't follow up with their baptismal. They're not doing anything about preparation for the sacraments. They're not doing any of that. What can we do? Well, sometimes there's not a whole lot you can do at all, except to be that constant example of what it means to live a life of faith, that I believe in my God. I believe he is trustworthy. I have confidence that what he says is going to happen. I read his word so I know a little bit more about him and what he did, so that I have even more reason to believe and accept what he teaches. But somehow or another, we have to pass that on. And sometimes the only thing grandparents can do, or brothers and sisters who firmly believe, is to be the example. So that when you sit down to eat, you thank God for your gifts. Before you put your head on the pillow at night, you thank God for what he has given to you through the day. You ask him when you mess up, you ask him to forgive. Firmly believing it, with every confidence that what he said he will do, he will do. Because he is God. And we have come to firmly believe that this gift that he gave to us as a tiny seed, we work throughout our lifetime to develop, and so that we can pass it on to other generations. It can be very frustrating. It can be very frustrating in our world today. You say, especially for people in parishes who are responsible for religious education, for religious formation, when, say, children come who have no idea what a prayer is, who have no idea what the Lord's Prayer is, who have no idea what the Hail Mary is. It's like somewhere along the way that whole process of learning, of teaching and learning, has been kind of extracted from family life. And it's a severe loss. It's a severe loss. Because if a child has no formation in their faith life in their early years, and they don't go to a school where these are reinforced, where do they get their affirmation? Where do they get their knowledge? Where do they get their example of living a life of faith? So no matter how old we are, no matter how young we are, it's important for us to be that example all the time. Because otherwise, what happens to this gift? You know, it has to be nurtured. We have to work at developing it. It doesn't just happen. You know, God is very, very generous to us. He gives us more than we ever will need. But remember, he recognizes that we are people, and that he made us in his image and likeness. And with that image and likeness, he gave us the gift of choice. He gave us the gift of freedom. We can choose. So it's important that we learn that part of this choice is that we take the gifts that he has given, use them to the best of our ability, develop them to the best of our ability, and share them, particularly with our families, but wherever we go. It's good to see in the church today, so many groups that say people will get together for, say, religious study, just to get together for a while, maybe for weeks, and sometimes those weeks go into months and years, which is wonderful. But they get together to talk about their faith, maybe just read a little bit of scripture together and reflect a little bit. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? But all of those things, any of those things, help us to grow in that gift that our God has given to us. And remember what he told the apostles. If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, which is what considered an extremely tiny seed, if you had faith, that much faith, which is probably a speck on your finger, you could actually command a mulberry tree, which was considered one of the most deeply rooted trees, that it would pull itself out of the ground and go plant itself in the sea. He said you could do that. Now, he used exaggerations like that, but the point is still there. Or he said you could move mountain. If you commanded that mountain to move and really believed it was going to happen, it would move. Again, it may be an exaggeration just to get the point across to us, but how exceedingly important this gift is. It gives us that ability to look at our God and to say, I am sure, I'm absolutely confident and sure that what you promised me in your word is going to happen. If I do what you ask of me, I am absolutely sure that it will spend eternity looking in your face. I am sure that if I listen to you, somehow or another, this world can be transformed if enough of us listen to him and really act on it. That we have that confidence, that trust in what he says to us. But it takes work. It doesn't just happen. Unfortunately, otherwise our world would already be a different place. Remember, we thank him for that gift, but the gift needs to be developed.